It is daybreak. Good morning to you. Thanks a lot for joining us. Once more, we are joined during this legislative session, which ends on the 23rd, which means as of the recording of this episode, of this interview rather, 20 days from now, probably about 19 days as you're listening to it. And every week we hear from Senator Drew McEwen, representing the 35th Legislative District. He represents all of Mason County, parts of Kitsap County, parts of Thurston County, and we appreciate his time each and every week. Thanks, Senator, for being back with us here. Hope you had a nice weekend.
Yeah, thank you. My pleasure to be back. And another rainy day in paradise, but, you know.
Yeah, boy, that's why I keep saying to myself, I'd much rather have the rain and all the greenery we have versus my old state of California where, I mean, now they're getting rain, right? They're getting like 30 years worth of rain in one season, which is terrible right. for them. It'd be great if they could spread it out over the years, but everything's so brown down there typically. Now it's finally getting green, but we know that won't last yep. with the drought. But anyway, let's talk first, let's go in reverse order here if we could. Over the weekend, Thurston County Sheriff Derek Sanders was involved in an accident where he had to be airlifted to a Harborview in Seattle due to his injuries, and it involved another driver, a 29-year-old man, apparently, according to the WSP, and he was in a truck and taken into custody for driving under the influence, and the 29-year-old man was uninjured in the crash, but the sheriff ended up being airlifted. And good news is the latest update is he was released from Harborview, I understand, Sunday night after being involved in this two-car crash in Yelm. Let's talk a little bit about this. Yet another driver being arrested for a DUI. That's one of my angles to this whole thing. I'm sick and tired of opening up the news every day and seeing another drunk driver wiping somebody out.
Yeah, yep. It's, you know, and Sheriff Sanders, you know, he's taking a new approach to the whole department. I mean, he's regularly out on patrol doing what sheriff's deputies and sheriffs are supposed to be doing as opposed to being behind the desk. But it's just a stark reminder that, the dangers our law enforcement community faces every day. And, it sounds like he's going to be all right, thank God. But, I just want to give a shout out to him. And, one of the youngest sheriffs in the country, not just our state. He's 29 years old. And, like I said, leading by example. So I just, thoughts and prayers are going out to him and his family and his department. And, hopefully a speedy recovery and get back to work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, as you well know and you've worked on as well with your colleagues, I hear from people all the time saying it's a fluke when a drunk driver crashes into something or somebody. I go, it's not a fluke when it happens every single day. I mean, I just saw a report on distracted driving in the state of Washington, and we're way ahead of most other states, unfortunately, many other states anyway, in terms of people looking at their cell phones and texting while driving and doing all that nonsense. But we also have a very high number of DUI drivers, and I work at the jail, full disclosure, I work at the sheriff's office here in Mason County as well as doing the radio show. And without getting into details, there are way more DUI offenses than I ever imagined. I mean, I cannot believe the courts are cluttered with mainly domestic violence cases and DUI cases. And the jails, the jails would be largely empty if it wasn't for those two offenses, because most of the people in the jails are there for drunk driving and for hitting other people.
And we actually had a bill that in the Senate this year. It did not advance off the Senate floor, but it did out of committee, and it lowered the DUI limit from 0.08 to 0.05. And that gave a lot of people pause, like, wait a minute. Well, you know what? That's kind of the point. Because I think, part of the problem is that at 0.08, I mean, the vast majority of people, I enjoy my drinks as much as the next person, but it's very dangerous to and you put other people's lives at risk when you drive intoxicated. And 0.08, it's this ambiguity. Well, I think I'm okay. And actually, Utah passed this law a couple of years ago, making it 0.05. And what they found, it's not that there's been this huge increase in DUI arrests, but they're actually seeing an actual decrease in DUIs because people are like, whoa, 0.05, I better just have one if I'm going to drive. Yeah. If that. And it changes the mindset. And and maybe that bill's not the complete answer. I don't know, but it's we're just reminded again with Sheriff Sanders' accident over the weekend that and this was not at night, late at night or anything. This was in the middle of the day, and the guy was towing a trailer. I mean, just People gotta be smart and look out for themselves, and because other people aren't even looking out for themselves, much less others.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the transportation budget. I know that's an area you want to touch on today. Tell us about that and what's going on there.
Yeah. So I'm real pleased. Worked hard here in the on the Senate Transportation Committee to get some needed items taken care of for Mason County. One of the big ones is the Belfair Bypass, now called the Freight Corridor. It's the same project. It just changed the name a year or two ago. But in the governor's proposed budget, he moved it out about 6 or 7 years, and whereas it was supposed to be on track right now. Worked with budget writers to reallocate funds and speed up the project to keep it on track. So we have that in the Senate budget. I'm pleased with that. A similar approach was taken by the House. So I'm looking forward to getting that that bill through and signed into law here in the session and keep the Belfair Freight Corridor on track. But just as importantly, and we're just talking about safety, the stretch of Highway 101 going past Shelton there is rated as one of the deadliest highways in our state.
Yeah.
And I think everybody's familiar with it. It's essentially a three-lane road that becomes a two-lane road, and you got people going 65, 70 miles an hour on there. And we've seen another fatalities just over the last year, if not over the last years, that, you know, it's somebody so much as gets close to the center line, doesn't take much for a fatality to happen. And so I've gotten money allocated to put jersey barriers in. Those are those concrete barriers that'll go down the center line. I'd like to expand that highway and do some more things, but that's just not in the financial cards right now with all the projects that that we have going on in the state. But this is a significant allocation of money to put a safety feature in along that stretch of road that hopefully we can lead to fewer accidents and hopefully zero fatalities in the coming years. So glad that we're able to get that in. I'm confident we'll be able to have that stick through the final budget process. But I just wanted to bring that up. It's like I said, it's unfortunate that that's one of the deadliest highways in our state, that stretch right there.
I don't even take it.
We're on path here to have a solution.
Yeah, I avoid it when I can. I don't like the feel of it, and I'm glad that something's being done to maybe remedy that. But I will go out of my way, you know, when I'm going up into Walmart and Fred Meyer up there and stuff, if I have a choice, especially when I'm coming from Olympia and I know I have to go shopping or something, I'll get off sooner, to be honest with you. I'll get off at the main kind of downtown Shelton exit there and just take a few extra minutes, because I don't like how that feels. And it's such a short stretch when you think about how long 101 is, how many hundreds of miles and thousands of miles that highway is. It's that one stretch that is really kind of terrifying. It really is. And in day or night, it's certainly at night, but even during the day. And why do you think, Senator, I mean, just your speculation, I know that Highway 3 kind of in Belfair, kind of upper Belfair past that roundabout up there, from there to like Gorst and stuff, that's a very deadly stretch, but that is as straight as an arrow. I mean, if you were to put like a ruler down on the ground, I mean, it's like a straight line. And it seems like a lot of these straight stretches are some of the deadliest. Is it because people get cocky and they're going too fast and they try to pass when they shouldn't pass? Or, I mean, why are so many people getting into accidents?
Yeah, I'm certainly not an expert. Yeah, I'm certainly not an expert on that end of it, but that makes some sense. You know, there isn't, it doesn't, as you know, it doesn't take much for traffic to get slowed down along that stretch of road either. And I think people get impatient and, you know, that leads to poor choices. And we have a goal in the state of zero fatalities. I forget what the year is, but I want to say in the next 5 years. You know, and that's a tough goal to achieve, but it's one that we rightly should be aiming towards. So, you know, and that's one of the things the chair of the Transportation Committee, he's passionate about. His father was a construction worker and witnessed some firsthand things that, you know, lost some people. And so this has been a focus of the Senate chair and working with him to get these into the budget. I'm glad we were able to do that. And it doesn't mean we're going to solve it all, but we're moving in the right direction.
Now, as of this broadcast, we're going to be playing this on the Tuesday show on the 4th of April. We're at 19 days left, correct, in the legislative session. How is that looking in terms of what happens in those last fewer than 3 weeks? Because aside from a few, you know, fiscal committee hearings and stuff, the public hearing process for bills, right, being heard is largely over. Is that right? So what does this kind of home stretch look like?
Yeah, we're past the policy committee cutoff, which means policy committees had to pass their final bills last week. Fiscal committees, which is your operating budget, capital budget, transportation budget, those have to all be wrapped up by this Wednesday. And then we head to the Senate floor to pass off the bills from the House, and the House does the opposite. That happens for just about a week, and then and then in that final week and a half of session, any bill that got amended by the opposite chamber has to go back to its originating chamber, and it doesn't go back into a committee process, but it goes into a into negotiation over, you know, whether or not to hold amendments, etc. So yeah, we're in the final stretch here. You know, things are on track to adjourn on time, and it's a lot of hurry up and then a lot of wait as you know, as each bill gets through and is finalized. You know, the boxes keep getting checked and get closer to being done.
Well, Senator, I appreciate your time today as always, and we'll chat with you a few more times here before the end of the session. And people can go to your website at drewmacewen.src.wastateleg.org and find out the bills you've sponsored and how to get in touch with you and your mailing list and how to be in touch, which they need to do. People need to get more involved and certainly be educated on what is going on. There's a lot going on in the state, good and bad. And thanks a lot for your hard work.
Hey, thanks for having me on again. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Appreciate it very much. Senator Drew MacEwen representing the 35th Legislative District, Mason County, and parts of Kitsap and Thurston County every Tuesday here on Daybreak during the legislative session, which ends on April 23rd. This is Daybreak. We'll continue right after this.